Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Juror Dishonesty Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On October 8, 2014, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Warger v. Showers. The question in this case is whether, under Federal Rule of Evidence 606B, a party moving for a new trial may rely upon juror testimony regarding statements made during deliberations that suggests juror dishonesty during voir dire, which is the process by which potential jurors are questioned in order to determine if they are suitable to serve on a particular jury. To discuss the case, we have Rachel Paulos, who is a former United States attorney. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Paulos.
Warger v. Showers, on which the Supreme Court heard oral argument on October 8, 2014, is a case arising from the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit. This case involves the interpretation of Federal Rule of Evidence 606B. The question before the court is whether Rule 606B bars a party moving for a new trial from introducing a juror affidavit asserting another juror was dishonest during voir dire. Specifically, the petitioner claims a juror discussed her life experiences during jury deliberations after swearing to render a verdict based solely on the facts and law presented during trial. Generally, Rule 606B precludes a party from challenging the validity of the verdict or indictment by testifying as to jury deliberations, with only three exceptions. One, where extraneous prejudicial information was improperly brought to the jury's attention. Two, where an outside influence was improperly exerted on any juror. Or three, where a technical mistake was made in entering the verdict on the verdict form. The facts of this case arose out of a motor vehicle collision. On August 4, 2006, while driving on U.S. Highway 385 in South Dakota, respondent Randy D. Showers collided with petitioner Gregory P. Warger. Showers was operating a pickup truck pulling a camper trailer while Warger was riding a motorcycle. Warger was seriously injured and ultimately suffered the amputation of his lower left leg. 2 years after the accident, Warger sued Showers for negligence and other claims in the United States District Court for the District of South Dakota. After the initial trial ended in mistrial, the jury returned a verdict for Showers at the second trial in September 2010. Warger then filed various motions in an attempt to set aside the jury verdict. Of relevance to this appeal, Warger filed a motion for a new trial under Federal Rule of Civil Procedure 59, claiming juror misconduct as grounds. Warger claimed the jury foreperson, Regina Whipple, lied during voir dire about her impartiality and interfered with jury deliberations by relating her own daughter's life experiences. Warger submitted an affidavit from Stacy Titus, another juror in the case. Titus alleged the following in excerpts of his affidavit, quote, "The biggest concern I had during jury deliberations was the attitude and comments by some of the jurors to not consider the facts and evidence of the case. It was evident to me that one juror, who ended up being the foreman, was influenced by her own daughter's experience and not the facts, evidence, and law that was presented to us. The juror, who ended up being the foreperson, during deliberations spoke about her own daughter's experience, which included a motor vehicle collision in which her daughter was at fault for the collision and a man died. She related that if her daughter had been sued, it would have ruined her life. I'm still concerned regarding the bias expressed by this juror. I'm concerned that the juror influenced other jurors by stating that her daughter's life would have been ruined if a lawsuit had been filed against her in the collision," end quote. Now, in response to counsel's questioning during voir dire, Whipple had said she would not have difficulty awarding damages, if appropriate, for future medical expenses and pain and suffering. In response to questions about impartiality, Whipple did not volunteer her daughter's experience. However, neither Warger's nor Shower's trial counsel ever specifically asked the prospective jurors whether they or their close family members or friends had ever been involved in a motor vehicle accident resulting in grave bodily injury or death. The district court denied Warger's motion for a new trial and declined to consider Stacy Titus' affidavit, saying evidence of juror deliberations submitted by another juror was barred under Rule 606B. The court stated, quote, the type of biases the foreperson allegedly expressed in this case, while unfortunate, do not fall within any exception to Rule 606B, end quote. Warger appealed the district court's decision, but the United States Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit affirmed the decision of the district court, holding the lower court did not abuse its discretion in denying Warger a new trial. The Eighth Circuit held, quote, in order to achieve finality in the litigation process and avoid relentless post-verdict scrutiny and second-guessing, occasional inappropriate jury deliberations must be allowed to go unremedied, end quote. Warger then filed a successful petition for cert before the United States Supreme Court. Before the Supreme Court, Warger makes three primary arguments. First, Warger argues juror testimony about a fellow juror's alleged statements during jury deliberations is not categorically barred under Federal Rule of Evidence 606B. Warger asserts that his attempt to show juror dishonesty during voir dire does not implicate an inquiry into the validity of the verdict and therefore does not implicate the rule at all. Rather, Warger asked the court to view the problem as a structural error covered by the Supreme Court's decision in McDonough Power v. Greenwood. Under the McDonough test, a party is entitled to a new trial if the party can show, one, that a juror failed to honestly answer a material question during voir dire, and two, that the juror's truthful response would have provided grounds for a challenge for cause. At bottom, Warger attempts to divorce the specific wrong he claims from the ultimate relief he seeks. Showers urges the court to reject Warger's first argument as a misreading of the plain language of Rule 606B. In his brief before the court, Showers argued, quote, as an initial matter, an inquiry into juror dishonesty at voir dire in a proceeding aimed at vacating the verdict necessarily is an inquiry into the validity of the verdict, end quote. Showers also argues that even if the McDonough test applies here, Warger cannot meet it since even Titus's allegations do not suggest Whipple lied. At best, Shower contends, Whipple failed to volunteer information which neither the court nor any lawyer specifically asked her or any other juror. Warger's second argument is that even if Rule 606B is implicated, the Titus affidavit triggers the exception the rule itself provides in Rule 606B2A for extraneous prejudicial information. Warger alleges that Whipple's statement that her daughter's life would have been ruined by a lawsuit after she caused a man's death in a motor vehicle accident is extraneous prejudicial information that Whipple improperly brought to the jury's attention. Showers urges the court to adopt the reasoning of the lower courts, which held that the extraneous prejudicial information barred by Rule 606B2A is exemplified by third-party contact or media tainting, not personal feelings or experiences such as those Whipple expressed during jury deliberations, allegedly. As a policy matter, Showers insists that a complete sanitizing of the jury room is not only impossible, but undesirable. Finally, Warger argues he has a constitutional right to a fair civil trial, and that right has been impinged by a juror who lied during voir dire. Warger argues every citizen possesses a Sixth Amendment right to a fair criminal trial as well as a due process right to a fair civil trial. In either case, Warger insists that a juror who offers false responses during voir dire impinges on any litigant's constitutional right to a fair trial. Showers responds that other sources of trial practice protect a litigant's right to a fair jury, which do not undermine Rule 606B. First, Showers argues that it is counsel's responsibility to ask questions during voir dire which would reveal any potential bias. Second, parties may impeach the verdict by means other than the testimony of another juror. Third, the court, counsel, or other jurors could challenge jurors' behavior before a verdict is rendered. Finally, Showers notes that in extreme cases, prosecutors could bring contempt charges against dishonest jurors. The Supreme Court has only once before addressed the interpretation of Rule 606B in recent history. In Tanner v. United States, the court affirmed the 11th Circuit in denying a new trial motion based on allegations that jurors were ingesting alcohol and drugs, selling drugs to each other, sleeping during the trial, and thus unfit to render a fair verdict. The court in that case acknowledged that while jury verdicts might not be the result of a perfect process, the jury process must be protected from post-verdict attack. The Tanner Court noted, quote, There is little doubt that post-verdict investigation into juror misconduct would in some instances lead to the invalidation of verdicts reached after irresponsible or improper juror behavior. It is not at all clear, however, that the jury system could survive such efforts to perfect it. Allegations of juror misconduct, incompetency, or inattentiveness raised for the first time days, weeks, or months after the verdict seriously disrupt the finality of the process. Moreover, full and frank discussion in the jury room, jurors' willingness to return an unpopular verdict, and the community's trust in a system that relied on the decisions of laypeople would all be undermined by a barrage of post-verdict scrutiny of juror conduct, end quote. There is a circuit split on the issue. The 8th, 3rd, and 10th circuits all interpret Rule 606B to bar the introduction of juror affidavits to challenge a jury verdict. Interestingly, the Third Circuit opinion was written by then-Judge Alito. Only the Ninth Circuit has definitively allowed challenges to jury verdicts by other juror affidavits under Rule 606B. At oral argument before the Supreme Court, Canon K. Shanmugam of Williams & Connolly argued the case on behalf of petitioner Gregory P. Warger. Sheila L. Birnbaum of Quinn Emanuel argued the case for respondent Randy D. Showers. The United States argued as amicus in support of the respondent, with Sarah E. Harrington of the United States Solicitor General's Office representing the government. As is typical in Supreme Court arguments, Warger's counsel faced a barrage of questions. By my count, 7 of the 9 justices questioned Warger's counsel. The court questioned Shanmugam on everything from the wording of Rule 606B to the policy implications of Warger's interpretation of the rule. Warger's counsel opened by attempting to frame the case as one implicating the McDonough framework. Shanmugam also argued that Whipple's statements during juror deliberations were improper and contradicted the statements she made during voir dire. Counsel also reiterated the uncontroversial litigation experience of the Ninth Circuit in arguing that no dire policy implications would result if the court reversed the Eighth Circuit. However, the justices seemed particularly interested in the implications of invading the privacy of the jury room and the potential for anything that was said in the jury room to be recharacterized as reflecting on what jurors said during voir dire. Justices also seemed skeptical of Warger's factual assessment that there was evidence of intentional dishonesty by Whipple. Justices also repeatedly questioned how Warger's appeal could be characterized as anything other than an attack on the verdict by another juror's testimony, which is barred under Rule 606B. Showers' counsel argued that the fighting question was what Congress meant by prohibiting an inquiry into the validity of the verdict under Rule 606B. Justices questioned Birnbaum on the unexceptional experience of jurisdictions in which attacks on jury verdicts by juror testimony are permitted. Justices also questioned whether Showers was insisting that jury verdicts could not be questioned in any circumstance at all, including in the case of racial bias. Even in that situation, Birnbaum argued that juror testimony as to another juror's statements was nonetheless prohibited under Rule 606B, saying the rule provided no exception for racial bias. Birnbaum argued the only remedy for juror misconduct was for the government to bring a contempt proceeding after the trial. Quite atypically, the Solicitor General's office fielded no questions at all from the court in an abbreviated oral argument during which counsel chiefly argued that any hearing on a motion for a new trial is necessarily an inquiry into the validity of the verdict. All counsel performed quite ably and deftly handled the court's questions, particularly Shanmugam. Given the uphill fight Warger appears to be waging, his greatest victory might have been in securing new appellate counsel who convinced the court to grant cert in a case that is challenging for petitioner on the facts, law, and policy. Now, what is at stake in this case is the finality of jury verdicts. On the one hand, it is impossible to feel anything but great sympathy for the tragedy inflicted upon Gregory Warger. More broadly, the legal system must allow in evidence of wholly improper juror misconduct during deliberations. For example, a jury verdict rendered solely on the basis of a juror's racial bias, personal relationships with a litigant, or corruption should not stand. Jury verdicts so tainted would threaten the foundation of the jury system and threaten any litigant's right to a fair trial. At the same time, Rule 606B clearly prohibits the introduction of certain types of evidence to attack a jury verdict, precisely because our legal system also values finality. The exception Warger urges in this case has the potential to swallow the rule, as both the government and courts below argue. A system that allows any and every jury verdict to be attacked by another juror after the fact could lead to a parade of horribles in which jurors are chilled from open discussion and honest debate during deliberations. Jurors are subjected to harassment by parties attempting to dredge up any scintilla of wrongdoing, and court and party resources are drained by post-verdict fights over who said what when. This case has the potential to impact every jury verdict rendered in the country, and therefore it is an important case to watch.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.